everybody. Thank you for joining Bible study today. Thank you for always tuning in. Welcome to CAC Graceville Bible Study. And we are on lesson 8 in our weekly unified Bible study manual for Christ Apostolic Church. And the title, the topic of today's lesson says, Apostasy and Hypocrisy Shall Be on the Increase. Apostasy and hypocrisy shall be on the increase. Let's just say a word of prayers as we go ahead. Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to learn at your feet again. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes, open our hearts to the mysteries behind these letters in the name of Jesus, that will get the life behind these letters in the name of Jesus. And at the end of the day, you will be glorified, you will be blessed. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So apostasy and hypocrisy shall be on the increase. We have three major texts to read. The first one is 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1-5, 1 Timothy 4, 1-5. The Holy Spirit has explicitly revealed at the end of this age, many will depart from the truth. Many will depart from the true faith, one after another, devoting themselves to spirits of devotion, of deception, and following demon-inspired revelations and theories. Oh, God. So the fact that we are experiencing this in our days, number one, shows that it's not new. It's not new. I've said this over and over again. We are not the worst generation. It has been bad since forever. But these are signs to show that we're just reminding us that we are in the last days. And the last days started from the days of the apostle. We've said that before on this teaching, on this series. Verse 2, hypocritical liars. Hypocritical liars. That hypocritical liars in the Aramaic translation, it means they will seduce with false appearances. In the Bible days, hypocrites, actors are called hypocrites. In fact, the synonym of the word acting is hypocrisy in the Bible days. So, you know, an actor, and I've seen some people attack some actors. Maybe someone acted a particular script or a role in a particular script, and then because that role was a bad role or was the person was wicked, I've seen people attack them physically, and quite a number of the times, the people that acted a particular bad role or whatever role in a movie are not necessarily that in real life, and they just say, "It's just my profession." They try to explain to people, "It's just my profession. I'm just doing my job well." So the same way actors are seen, the same thing, hypocrisy. So they are actors, they are acting scripts. So hypocritical liars will deceive many, and their consciences won't bother them at all. We've seen quite a number of things. I was listening to a preacher, young man of the Cherubim and Seraphim a couple of days ago. And I was trying to tell the congregation that their fathers give them a lovely doctrine. For instance, in CAC, there's something we call spiritual gymnastics. Some of us call it, it's not official, but you know, when you sing some revival songs, you just want to start prayer, but that's just to first, you're just gymming, you're just, you know, you understand that anywhere you want there to be an eruption in any CAC service or any CAC church, just start with Jesu, holo mi, ereo. And we are eruption, you know. So those are spiritual gymnastics. There are some songs. Agbara re gaju to ta lo. Those songs stir your spirit. Those are spiritual gymnastics. So what we call spiritual gymnastics, that to stir up the spirit, to so they call it in CNS, they call it eremi, which means more or less like spiritual exercise or something like that in their own denomination. So it was not saying their fathers give them that doctrine to stir up the spirit, that when you sing such songs, your spirit is stirred up. Now, people have taken it, he was in the sermon, that people have taken it to start stirring up prophets. They have prophets, or you want the head of the prophet to swell, or the prophet that died, you now start eulogizing him, telling him he's the son of Lagbaja, he came from so and so place. So those things have crept into their doctrine. And I just looked at it, yeah, these songs, these spiritual songs, when you eulogize God, you tell him there is no power. Sibe agbara olorun gbani, agbara olorun gbani, ombani la. Like I'm even charged. Those are songs we used to charge our spirit before prayer meetings. And a number of people have taken it to another way. They've put a number of, they've deceived people with things like that. That you have to first stir up the prophet. It is me. You make my head swell before you can experience God. Whereas we're all supposed to eulogize God so that the Spirit of God can descend, so that the presence of God can be manifest in our meetings. So, and it says their conscience, it says here in verse 2, and their conscience won't bother them at all. They will require celibacy and dietary restrictions that God doesn't expect. I mean, you know, don't let me go into this. We have so many texts. This study is filled with so many texts. So. Okay, but we know who are the people that do celibacy. We know the dog. So wait, and I've said it. That sect, or that I don't want to mention names of organizations, but that sect call themselves Christians, or people call them Christians, but I don't think they call themselves Christians. Where in the Bible do you say before you can be a priest or before you can serve God, you have to be celibate? You don't have to get married. It's unscriptural. It's unscriptural. And then dietary restrictions. I've seen people, when the Bible says he created all things for his pleasure, he said he's given me all these green leaves and whatever to eat. They're supposed to say if you eat a particular thing, I've heard that several times, that if you eat okra, you'll be slow. Your destiny will be slow. If you eat snail, it will do something. You know, people just have these dietary restrictions, and they start dogmatizing it everywhere. But see, eat. I was in some of my TD Jakes early hours of this morning, early hours of yesterday morning. I was just listening to one of his sermons, and it was like, there's so much fear in this world, Zev, that. And it's true. If you look, especially some of our fathers and mothers, if you drink tea too much, tea has this one. If you drink, if you eat popo will add this one. If you eat, take Lipton is dangerous. If you take beverage is this one. If you take water, they may even spray water with. So what do we want to eat? Just go eat. Just eat. So there's so many dietary restrictions in the world, then in the church, that bringing all sorts of things. It is a sin to do this, bring all sorts of dietary restrictions that God doesn't expect. Put it here. Dietary restrictions that God doesn't expect, for he created all foods to be received with celebration of faith by those who fully know the truth. We know that all creation is beautiful to God, and there's nothing to be refused if it is received with gratitude. All that we eat is made sacred by the word of God and prayer. So if I take any food and I bless it, that food becomes blessed. That's it. I take food, I pray on it, that food is blessed. Nothing else. Hallelujah. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:5. 2 Timothy 3:5. 2 Timothy 3:5. They may pretend to have respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like this. KJV says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So these are hypocrites. Jude 1:20. Okay, Jude 1:20. It's a long read. Okay, let's just stay on those two. We'll come back and be reading others later. Okay, let's go to the introduction. There are different kinds of dangers and ills associated with the end time, of which apostasy and hypocrisy are major. We are not left in the dark on the mass drift from the faith in this end time. 2 Timothy 3:5. The objective of this study, therefore, is to help believers to overcome the menace of apostasy and hypocrisy in this end time. Hallelujah. Okay, we are to read Acts 21:21, and it defines apostasy. Let's read just one of it, because there are two scriptures there, Acts 21:21 and 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let's read Acts 21:21. Acts 21:21. But they've heard a rumor that you've been instructing Jews everywhere to abandon Moses by telling them they do not need to be circumcised. They do not need to circumcise their children or keep up Jewish customs. This was the beginning of the challenges for the apostles. But let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Second Thessalonians 2:3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Before the day comes, the rebellion must occur, and the outlaw, destructive son, will be revealed in true light. Also talking about what's going to happen at the end time. Now let's look at what the Bible is saying here, that the Greek word used in both of those scriptures is apostasy, and it means rebellion, abandonment, state of apostasy or defection. So in essence, apostasy is when someone that used to know the way departs. So abandonment, or abandons the way. Apostasy can only happen to a Christian. So I need to also explain that apostasy can only happen to a believer, someone who used to believe, who used to, and now start denying the power of God, start denying the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that is apostasy, state of defection, state of rebellion, state of abandonment. So abandonment now is not just abandoning your local church and going to another church, abandoning faith, abandoning Christ. So then in 1 Timothy 4:1, we've read that one, the verb is aphistemi, which means go away or withdraw or depart. So 1 Timothy 4:1 implies that apostasy is falling into false heretical beliefs. So apostasy, according to 1 Timothy 4:1, is falling into false heretical beliefs. Luke 8:13. It is seen in terms of people who have come to believe and receive the gospel with joy, but have broken off relationship with God under the pressure of persecution and tribulation arising because of the faith. Let's read that. I think that was one of the places Jesus defined apostasy. Luke 8:13. The seeds falling on the gravel represent those who initially respond to the word with joy. But soon afterwards, when they hear, when a season of difficulty and harassment of the enemy comes to them, they wither and fall away, for they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. So that is also apostasy. People that they've heard the truth previously, and they now start departing from it. Hebrews 3:12 describes apostasy as unbelieving and self-willed, drifting away from God. Let's read Hebrews 3:12-14. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 14. 12. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure you have, and make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding within you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is the message to encourage. Okay, verse 14. For we are mingled with the Messiah if we continue unshaken in this confident assurance from the beginning unto the end. So it's saying that when someone drifts away from God, that's apostasy. So we are in God, we not drift away in the name of Jesus. In all, apostasy is a serious situation of becoming separated from the living God, falling away from the faith, either by self-will or external factors, persecution and tribulation after previous turning towards Him. So that just summarizes the definition of apostasy. Is it possible to fall from grace? Oh, in fact, I had some of my big brothers shared a video this past week about this falling from grace. And I didn't want to tell them that we are discussing apostasy in Bible study next week. And some people, you know, this dogma has crept into, I mean, it has been in church anyways. For those of us in SU days in the early 90s, Once Saved, Forever Saved also came. Just because there was no internet then, if not, it would have been all over the place and everybody would have been shouting. So when it came again, in like about 4 years ago, people like us were not surprised, because I mean, when we're in secondary school in those days, it was the in thing. So Once Saved, Forever Saved, not possible for you to fall from grace. But let's read a few scriptures and see if truly it is possible to fall from grace. But in Christ Apostolic Church, one of our tenets is the ability to fall from grace. We believe that there is a possibility to fall from grace. We don't believe in once saved, forever saved in Christ Apostolic Church, according to our tenets of belief. The issue is that most people, even in Christ Apostolic Church, even though the tenets are written in most every of our publication, is on the last page of this Bible study manual, is in our Sunday school pamphlet, any publication, most of our even calendars, everything, the tenets of Christ Apostolic Church are always there. Your baptismal card. But most people have never read it. So they will keep arguing things like this. In Christ Apostolic Church, we don't believe in once saved, forever saved. No. So that automatically has shown you my stand, even before we start reading the scriptures. But let's see, because each of our tenets have scriptural backings. Our fathers didn't just bring this thing up from their head. They are well researched and instructions from the Lord as well. So let's look at the scriptures. If this is my stand, I mean, I've told you my stand even before we started reading the Bible. But let's see if I'm just being dogmatic, or is the doctrine of the Bible. So we're going to read quite a bit of scriptures, about three or four. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Start from there. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Beware, if you think it could never happen to you, lest your pride becomes your downfall. In other words, let he who thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. So you can be thinking you are standing. Bible is saying you should be careful, you may fall, even though you're standing. Don't think this cannot happen to me. I love this translation. Don't think you are above some of these things. So beware if you think it could never. Okay, let's read it from 11. Okay, let me read it from 8 so that we'll get that. Neither should we commit sexual immorality as some of them did, which caused death of 23,000 on a single day. Nor should we ever provoke the Lord as some of them did by putting him to outrageous tests that resulted in their death from snake bites day after day. And we must not embrace their complaining, grumbling with discontent, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroyer. All the tests they endured on their way through the wilderness are a symbolic picture, an example that provides us with a warning so that we can learn through what they experienced. For we live in a time when people of all ages past is now completing its goal within us. So beware, if you think it could never happen to you, lest your pride becomes your downfall. So yes, some people in the Old Testament, some of our fathers are falling, and some will tell you that the reason why those ones fell is because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. The writer of First Corinthians, Paul, he wrote to third of the New Testament, and he got some amazing revelations from the Holy Spirit. So Paul had the Holy Spirit before he wrote this. So that's number one. Number two, 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 1:19. From 18. So Timothy, my son, I am entrusting you with this responsibility in keeping with the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life and are now in the process of fulfillment in this great work of ministry, in keeping with the prophecies spoken over you. With this encouragement, use your prophecies as a weapon as you wage spiritual warfare of faith with clean conscience, for there are many who reject these virtues and are now destitute of the true faith, such as Hymenaeus and Alexander, who have fallen away. I have delivered them both over to Satan to be rid of them, to teach them to no longer blaspheme. So these people were once believers. These people were once believers, and they fell away. Let me read a commentary about Hymenaeus. The name Hymenaeus is also the name of the pagan god of bridal song, sung by the attendants of the bride during a ceremony. He was invoked by bride's friends in hope that he will come and manifest himself. Perhaps this particular Hymenaeus was attempting to mix the worship of false god into the church. It's also cross-referenced in 2 Timothy 2:17. Alexander means protector of man or man pleaser. When the church attempts to please men, we can quickly fail to please God. So it is possible that the church will now start wanting to please men. So possibility to fall from grace. The Hebrews 3:12. So search your heart every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding in you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. So if you have evil hiding in you, if you have unbelief hiding in you, it will lead you astray. That's what the scripture says. And lastly, Hebrews 6:4-6. It is impossible to restore an apostate. Okay, I'll read that commentary later, but let's just read 4-6. It is impossible to restore an apostate, for once a person has come into God's light and tasted the gift of the heavenly realm and has received the Holy Spirit and feasted on the good word of God and has entered into the power of the age that is breaking in. If he abandons the faith, there is no use even trying to lead him to repentance. By their sin of apostasy, they crucify the Son of God and have publicly repudiated him. I love this translation. Let's just take it one by one. Apostate. This is the one who has abandoned their faith because of extraordinary length of the Greek sentence. This summary statement implied in the text is given here at the beginning of the paragraph for the sake of English narrative. To say it is impossible does not mean God cannot bring them up to repentance. You get that? So, we can start having issues. Are you saying it's impossible for God to save them? So to say it is impossible does not mean God cannot bring them up to repentance, but that he chose to leave them in their hardened state, much like Pharaoh, who hardened his heart to God. Aramaic is very clear. They cannot be renewed to conversion. So it's not that, may we not find ourselves in the state of apostasy. Trust me, I've met a few of them. They are the most difficult to preach to. It takes the Holy Spirit to break them. The most difficult, because they know what they're about to say. But some of them will even correct you. No, that's not how to do it. May we not get to that stage of becoming an apostate in Jesus' name. So yes, there's a possibility of falling from grace, and that is why we are being warned that we should be careful, as many as will fall away in the end time. Okay, so we've read 1 Corinthians 10:12. Here we see a more deeper definition of apostasy. These verses refer to loss of salvation. These verses refer to the loss of salvation rather than a mere failure from which one can recover. So total fall away is possible, and that is catastrophic. So they're just trying to tell us maybe we should read other scriptures there too. When you make a mistake, you fall into sin. That is not loss of salvation, because that's another thing that the once saved forever saved people used to confuse people. If you make a mistake, you fall into sin, you made a mistake, that is not losing salvation. And quite a number of scriptures talked about that. Maybe we should read it one after. Okay, Galatians 5, okay, Hebrews 4:11. So then we must be eager to experience this faith-rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. So if you harbor doubts in you, if you harbor unbelief in you, you have a tendency of falling away from grace. 2 Peter 3:17. As for you, divinely loved ones, since you have been forewarned about these things, be careful that you are not led astray by the error of the lawless and lose your firm grip on the truth. So if you're not careful, he's saying you need to be careful so that you are not led astray. So it is possible to be led astray from the truth. But we need to understand that it is not when you made a mistake, it's not when you commit one sin and then you're falling away from grace. No. But it is possible to lose one salvation. Let me just explain using this. I believe it is the English language that caused this error, is the English language. Because English language has limited vocabularies. And how do I mean? Imagine that if I write you a check, I use the word save, salvation. You know, I can write you a check. That check has been written. It's in your name. It is one thing for me to write you a check. It's another thing for you to go and cash that check. It's another thing for you to go and withdraw that check. So you may not withdraw the check. You may have the check. You may not even access, you may not even come and collect the check, but the check is in your name. So now, English language calls the act of writing check salvation. Then the act of withdrawing check, English also called it salvation. So when these people say, once you are saved, it is forever, they are somewhat right, in quotes, because that salvation of writing of check, Jesus has died for us. He has saved us. He has saved everybody. Because when those guys say that once saved, forever saved, they're only talking to Christians. It says only Christians. No. That once saved, forever saved is for everybody, all mankind. Osama bin Laden, ISIS, Boko Haram, headsmen, sinners, aristos, runs girls, everybody have been saved by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. So we've all been saved. That is that salvation. It is once and for all. You don't renew it. Jesus is not coming to save people again. However, you need to, the Bible says, by the heart one believes and by the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So can you see now? English used the same word, salvation, for that one. That second one, sir, can be lost. It can be lost. If it's with your heart you believe and with your mouth you confess that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that salvation can be lost. Okay, Luke 17:1, Jesus warns, it is impossible that no offenses, that is causing or falling away, should come. This in itself points to the coming of such offenses in the end times. Actually, I was discussing this with someone yesterday. Hallelujah. Romans 16:17. Paul warns against those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Even in Paul's days, that was part of the end times. These causes of falling away already were in operation. We've said it over and over. It's the end time didn't start today. It started since the days of the apostles. Romans 16:18 conveys the idea of hypocrisy on the part of these apostates. On the part of these apostates and apostasy causers, they disguise to deceive the unsuspecting. Romans 16:18. Let's look at that. Romans 16:18. For people like these are not truly serving the Lord, our Messiah, but are being driven by their own desires for a following, utilizing their smooth words and well-rehearsed blessing to seek to deceive the heart of innocent ones. This was Paul writing. So in the days of Paul, these deceivers, these apostates, they've been around. Apostasy and hypocrisy are closely related. Hypocrisy is the false claim to or pretense of having admirable principles, beliefs, or feelings. Hypocrisy sometimes comes in the form of inconsistency, pretense, blame, and complacency. Matthew 23:1-36 is a clear description of what hypocrisy is from, and the lives of the Pharisees and the scribes. What are some of the things that show they are hypocrites? That's verses 3-36. It's a long read. It was talking about, okay, let me just summarize. Matthew 23, that's the Pharisees, Jesus criticizing the Pharisees and the scribes. So their superficial spirituality versus genuine humility. A number of people, there was a time I was discussing with some of my friends and colleagues, that do you remember, especially in our secondary school days, for those who grew up in the 90s, there's some in quote Christian teachers or these most spiritual teachers in quotes in those days were the most wicked teachers. Did anybody notice going to secondary school, the ones that were in quotes holy, they were wicked, like wickedness. So these Pharisees have the superficial spirituality, but they lack humanity. A number of Christians fall into that, sadly. They lack humanity. I hope these things do not describe you. If they do, please change. Hallelujah. Hypocrites make themselves the priority over God. How do they do this? They become obsessed with external preferences than internal devotion. They seek religious prominence than humble service. They hiding godless double standard with artificial religious rules and routines, adding to the gospel in the name of modernizing it. These are related to what apostates do in disguise. Example of apostasy, that's Jude 1 to 20. A certain man in the first church, Israelites, that man in Jude, Israelites in the wilderness, some angels who fell, and people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Hallelujah. Okay. Then comes the prophetic warning in 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. In later times, the end times, there would be apostasy and hypocrisy, characterized by departing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having the conscience seared by hot iron, with an hot iron, and advocating godless teachings. The idea of hypocrisy that will characterize the perilous times in the last days, 2 Timothy 3:1, becomes clearer in verse 5. People will be outwardly showing that they have a form of godliness, but they're actually denying its power. This must come according to prophecy, of course. Don't be scared. These are just warnings to show us that these things have been prophesied and they will happen. So Luke 17:1, these things will happen. But we are graciously charged from such people, turn away, flee from such people. Why should we flee? Jesus declares woe on such people. That's Matthew 23, the whole of chapter verses 1 to 36, Jude 1:11, and I hope you know what that means. If Jesus himself declares woe unto those people, restoration for such might not be easy. Hebrews 6:4, and the final impenitent will suffer forever. If they don't repent, they will suffer forever. I wouldn't know if someone is here, and maybe some of these apostates happen because the church has hurt them, because someone has hurt them. I pray that the Lord will heal you if you're listening to my voice anywhere you are in the part of the world. But please come home. Home is still home. Jesus still loves you, still waiting for you. We are humans. I mean, we make mistakes. I was listening to Apostle Selman over the course of the week, and I was like, our fathers are humans. We should not come in public and be criticizing our fathers in Christendom, in Nigeria. They are humans. They make their mistakes. Yes, we know that. But let's just understand that they are humans and move on, so that we don't use, because of the hurt of a father, of the hurt of a friend, of the hurt of the church. It could be painful. I've been hurt by the church as well before. It could be very painful. Trust me, I understand the pain you're going through. But home is still home. The devil wants you to stay outside. Don't let the devil win. The Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Conclusion, the solution to overcome hypocrisy and apostasy. Let us continue to contend earnestly for the faith and build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We have to keep ourselves in love We have to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. May God help us. Amen. If you have questions, please type it in the comment box. I will attend to them one-on-one and personally. Let's just take our prayer points, three prayer points. Say, Father, deliver me from unbelief, backsliding, departing from faith, and posing to be what I am not in this end time. Deliver me from unbelief. Deliver me from backsliding. Deliver me from departing from the faith. Deliver me from posing to be what I am not in this end time. Help me to enter your rest ultimately. Shall we just begin to pray? Father, Lord, deliver us from unbelief. Deliver us from backsliding. Deliver us from departing from the faith in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us enter into your rest eternally. In Jesus' name, we've prayed. Father, let your spirit possess me against this end-time spirit that cannot destroy me. Let your spirit possess me. I refuse to be destroyed by this end-time spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fully possess me. In the name of Jesus, I am possessed by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Lord Jesus, help believers to contend for the faith in this end time, to overcome the spirit of apostasy and hypocrisy. I pray for the church, Lord. Let's pray for ourselves. Lord, help believers to contend for the faith. Help us to get the required knowledge. Help us to get to do the work to contend for the faith in this end time, that we may overcome apostasy and hypocrisy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, Lord, I pray for anyone listening to me, watching this all over the world. I ask that if someone is hurt, someone is pained, someone has been heartbroken. I pray, Lord, that there will be healing of those hearts in the name of Jesus. Anyone that the devil wants to sift away, anyone that the devil wants to drive away with false dogma, with lies and deceit, I pray that your feet is firm, strong in the Lord, in the name of Jesus. The Lord will give us what it takes to contend for the faith in this day and age. There are loads of things discouraging. There are loads of things, economy discouraging. There are loads of LGBTQ discouraging. All these things, that Lord, give us the grace and the strategy to contend for the faith in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much. Digital Church holds this Sunday. Woo! This Sunday is the last Sunday of the month. We have Digital Church every last Sunday of the month, 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. across all social media platforms. So please start seeing our flyers and co. So please invite your friends. Make sure you bring someone to church, Digital Church, on Sunday. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.